to dedicate the tabernacle. And all things had been set in order. And prayer was offered. The oxen were offered. And the Lord accepted that. And the glory of the Lord came down and filled the tabernacle. Sometimes later, they built a temple. And they built it according to the plan. And they offered their sacrifices. And they offered their prayers, and the glory of the Lord came down and flooded that temple. We have for us even a better testament, something offered to us above the types and the shadows. We have the fulfillment of God's plan. Don't we believe tonight He wants to flood this earthen temple with glory from His throne? Praise the Lord. Now, if God be for us, who can be against us? Think about that. If God is for us, then we are more than conquerors through Him that loved us. So let's make sure that we have built the tabernacle correctly. And I mean it this way. Let's do our part. Let's watch. Let's pray. Let's not let things in that shouldn't be there. Let's don't add to. Let's don't take away. Let's do our part. And I believe God will come and fill my temple and your temple. Praise God. And isn't that a wonderful thought? It is to me anyway. That the Lord would take this old feeble house of clay and live there. I want to tell you something. If you'd put me up beside the temple that was in Jerusalem, Solomon's temple, I'm not much to look at. If you'd put me up beside the tabernacle in the wilderness with all its splendor, gold, all of its things that were so appealing, I'm not much to look at. Isn't it a marvel that God would take this old tabernacle here and fill me and fill you with the glory of God? Oh, praise God tonight. My heart is rejoicing in that thought. This afternoon I was sitting over at the parsonage, just kind of getting as close to my wife as I could, I guess. Her car's parked over there. And actually, that's not why, but it was nice to see at least the car that she's supposed to be coming back to. And some thoughts began to go through my mind. And I don't know exactly how the Lord wants me to do this. But I'm going to begin in 1 John 4. Fourth chapter in the first verse. Information age we live in makes so many things available. Have you been keeping up with the news about the Da Vinci Code? Now, I haven't read the book, nor do I plan on reading the book. It's enough been said about it in the newspaper to tell me enough about it. It's a lie of the devil. It's probably just a marketing tool by someone who wants to make some money. Have you been reading in the papers about the book of Judas? Basically, Judas was Jesus' best friend, and in order for Jesus to die, Judas had to betray him, so Jesus said, "Be sure you betray me." On and on. The Gnostics, I believe those kind of things. They had many teachings that existed at that time, and perhaps this is an old writing, no question it may be, but there's been things handed down and perpetuated, and now they said, some skeptics of these writers saying that's all coming kind of out toward Easter because of the probability of it. And so it's going to make for interesting reading for some people, but I don't advise you to buy the book. Beloved, believe not every spirit, but try the spirits. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirit, whether they are of God, because many false spirits are gone out into the world. Believe the Bible teaches you and me to worship the Lord in spirit and in truth. Two elements that are essential to worship. Two elements that are essential to you and me being able to live a life that is pleasing to God. To walk in the Spirit, to hear the Spirit's voice, to be able to discern His leadership in my life and yours is essential. And the Spirit will lead us into all truth. Truth is what sets us free. Truth is the Word of God. Truth is God. Truth is powerful. Truth is light. Truth exposes error. We need, as God's people, we need to have a thorough understanding of the Word of God. It's not enough to have a relationship with God whereby we receive our instructions from man only, that is channeled through a teacher or channeled through a service. Those are important and they're biblical. But it is imperative that you and me have a relationship with God whereby we can worship Him in spirit and in truth. Because there are many false prophets, many false spirits, and many false prophets who promote all manner of ungodliness, all manner of false teaching, and come very close to you and me. So He said to us, don't you believe every spirit that comes along. But if I do not have the Spirit, if I am not grounded and settled in the truth of God's Word, if I have lived a life of somewhat indifferent to being a Bible student, then how am I to know, and how are we to know, how to be able to try spirits? Are we going to do it by our ingenuity, by our own ability some way that we feel like we have? You know, you and me are hoodwinked enough in life by life itself sometimes. We don't have the authority to work with spirits. We don't have the power to go one-on-one with spirits. They are wiser, and when I say wiser, they're intelligent. And they know what they're trying to do, and they're very dedicated to their purpose. The spirit of error, the spirit of false doctrine, the spirit of any sin you may want to think of, it's not something that they take lightly, but it's a dedicated thing to them. That's their purpose. That's their only purpose. That's why they exist. That's where they were sent for. They're not, you and me, we have a lot of interest. I believe false spirits have one interest, and that's what they were sent to do in whatever line it was. They're very subtle, and they're very bold. They're both. You and me do not have the equipment on hand to battle false spirits in ourselves, false teaching, or error. We don't have the authority in us of ourselves to go against the reasoning of the world. They're smarter people than I am, by far, in this world. There are people who have studied their false teaching to the nth degree. And in ourselves, I don't believe we're a match for. So we need the Spirit of God. We need the Spirit of truth. Study to show thyself approved unto God. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Believe not every spirit, but try the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets are gone out into the world. You're going to run into them. I am also. They're going to be all around us. They're going to come knock on our door. They're going to appeal to something about the flesh. They're not going to appeal to the Spirit of God. One of my securities and yours is to have the Spirit of God. Paul said to the Ephesians, "Have you received the Holy Spirit since you believed, or the Holy Ghost?" And they said, "No." "Where were you baptized?" "Well, we were baptized under John." And without seeming like any waste of time, they were taught of the baptism of Christ and repentance. And then after that, it seemed like the Holy Spirit came upon them immediately. Something very imperative. Jesus told the people, "Tarry in Jerusalem and wait for me and have a good time and banquet." No, he told them, "Till you be endued with power from on high." Why would Christ want you and me to have power? Because one reason, he knows there's false spirits. And he knows I am not able to combat them. I'm not even able to discern them in myself many times. They'll come on any line. Any line that opposes the Bible. And they will come as boldly as they need to or as subtly as they need to. The days we live in, free thinking, communications, people having rights, and there's no really any social pressures on holding anything back anymore. Lifestyles are open and flagrantly boasted about. The political pressures are upon our leaders to condone things. They're not something that you and I can withstand in ourselves. We don't have the security of a Supreme Court or the Congress or those kind of things to be our buffer. Saints, we're going to have to know God. We're going to have to be filled with His Spirit. We're going to have to be a possessor of the Word of God. We're going to have to hide the Word of God in our hearts. In the days that maybe are being shortened, the days are not maybe as long as to when Christ comes as they once were. This is a warfare. This is a time of very critical judgments that we as people are making and mankind is making. This is a time we need all the resources heaven allows us. And the Bible said that the Holy Ghost would lead us into all truth. My protection is the Holy Ghost. Now, you couple that with the Word and they agree. And He's not going to lead us into error. He said many false prophets. Prophets on every line. Prophets of self-indulgence. Prophets that are just like to be different and argue. Spirits that come around. Prophets that come around and feed your weakness or my weakness and say it's okay. Make allowances for it. We need to recognize those things as Satan wanting and trying to weaken you. And if he weakens you and you and you and me and enough, he has weakened the cause of Christ. He has taken the water, the wine of God, and trying to mingle it with the water of sectism and the water of unbelief, and to where you and me are, we don't know. We don't understand anymore. God help us to recognize there are many, many false spirits. There's a scripture that, and may I say it to you this way, only God is good. Jesus said that. Why do you call me good? There's only one good, and that is God. Everything then that's not of God, it may have some little attributes that we may say are good, but it's not good. It's not true. It will be tainted and slanted in some direction away from God. Jesus said, "Why do you call me good? There's only one good." I know he was speaking in terms also that him himself was good and you're making that relationship. But only God is good. And every good gift, it only comes from God. We need to be very careful. then that we are equipped. Over in, let's see, 1 Corinthians. You know, the church has always had opposition. One line here, one line there, different lines over there. Wasn't long after the church was established on Pentecost and the disciples and the apostles went forth that things started coming up. You can read history and there's all kind of apostasies even wanted to creep in early on. Seemed like the Corinthian brethren were attacked on various lines, and one of them was concerning the resurrection. They thought some was coming in teaching them that the resurrection was past. And I don't know what, I haven't studied it. I don't know if there's enough writings to really ascertain what all they thought these people, false spirits, were saying. Since the resurrection was past, then what was there to live for? I don't know that we have a lot of record of that. Paul was writing to them, and he said, if Christ be not risen, your faith is in vain, and you're still in your sins. And we know that, and we need to equip ourselves with that teaching. And here's what he said, though, down in the 15 and 33 of 1 Corinthians. And I want to reiterate this to us tonight. You already know this, but please accept it from God. There are many false spirits. There are many false prophets. There are many whose God is their belly, so to speak. They have no desire to bring men to a knowledge of God and holiness and righteousness, but to causes and to their ways and even to sin itself. Here's what the Lord said through Paul. 1 Corinthians 15 and 33. Be not deceived. Evil communications corrupt good manners, corrupt good habits. They break down what is right. They tear down principles that have been established. They have the power to annul in one's life, in one's heart, honesty and truth that's been established there. He said, don't be deceived. Let me tell you the word that came to me this afternoon. Strange word for a message, but it's dabble. You ever heard of dabbling in things? The Lord Jesus, through Paul, the Word of God, said this. Don't you be deceived. Dabbling is a dangerous place. You ever worked on an automobile with a white shirt on? Have you ever tried to fill up a hummingbird feeder, you know, and you put your red dye in there with a white shirt on? Have you ever tried to do something like that? Maybe mix up some fudge with a white apron on? Have you ever noticed how you can be so careful? And maybe on a dark piece of clothing you won't notice it. But you get it on something white and it has a way of kind of, well, when did I do that? I was so careful. God doesn't want us to be deceived, folks. There's too much dabbling going around. And I don't mean you personally. I'm just too much dabbling. You dabble here and you dabble there. You dabble with the devil, you dabble with a false spirit. When I say you, I don't mean you particularly. I mean as a manner of speaking. We dabble with this and we dabble with that, with this sometimes idea it's going to be all right. Jesus Christ, God the Father, said, don't you be deceived. That there is a power at work in this world that you don't know enough about. There are authorities, there are spirits, there are evil things in high places. They are sent with a purpose and they're dedicated to it to break down the truth, break down the belief in God's Word. And you know, we do ourselves an injustice by dabbling with it. You know, have you ever thought of what courtship's all about? Sure, it's to get a husband or a wife. We can be honest about that, can't we? Have you ever, especially a young man, I'm not interested, I'm just friends. You ever seen that? Maybe some of us fellows might have said that. Maybe some of you ladies have said that. Or we're just friends, or, oh, I was bored and didn't have anything to do. Oh, it's nothing, you know. And a little while later, there's an announcement in the paper. There's something said. You know, Brother Willie, in his magazine years ago, used to give those little congratulations. Courtships. Have you ever noticed sometimes that a young man and a young lady can get together in a way that nothing here. They don't understand why mom and dad says, make sure someone's with you. Oh, dad, mom, this. You can trust us. No, we can't. There's this thing called hormones. There's this thing called, I didn't hear that, so I won't ask you to repeat it. The devil. And good intentions, saints, are not enough. You know that. Good intentions are not enough to keep a couple pure. I'm using that as an illustration of a spiritual illustration. I'm sure there are things that have happened in courtships that neither party had any intentions at the get-go to have happen. The Lord wants us to be very careful with our communications. And that doesn't mean, it does mean, but it means more than just our words. Associations. Where we take this vessel. Do you remember we talked and sung about this is the holy temple of God? And how you and me then need to be very careful. And don't be deceived as you and me would go and dabble in this and dabble in that and dabble in that little thing over there. Telling ourselves all along, I'm not going to get a part of that. I'm just, you know, folks, those things have a way of rubbing off. They have a way of eroding. They have a way of tearing down. We can't serve two masters. God knows it. The devil knows it. Saints, that's me and you know it. We cannot afford then. Brother Clifford Wilson used to teach us very many times, guard your affections. He said, please don't be deceived this afternoon, tonight. We may think we can do a lot of things, but without God, we can do nothing. Sometimes people get to dabbling in doubting. Sometimes people get to doubting or gets to dabbling in little false doctrine. And we're kind of old fogies sometimes because we tell people, be careful what you read. You know, the devil does not just reach out and grab you and me by force like that. Bible speaks about a little sleeping and a little slumbering, a little folding of the hands. Did you know our poverty can come upon us and we not even know it till it has captured us? We need to be very careful. Don't be deceived. The things that we allow to communicate with us, the things that we allow ourselves to do, the places that I allow the temple of God to go to or entertain or be entertained with, all have an effect on me. Now, we could say, as the young couple might say, why, no, we'd never do that, or, oh, we're just friends. But we know what happens in courtships. And we know it's this thing called marriage is down at the end of it somewhere. And that's okay. But you know, we need to be careful here. We're the temple of God. And what we allow to, whose temple we are, in a holy temple, by the way, and we need to remember that, that we don't want to allow things that God didn't plan to put in the temple, that you and I put in the temple. We're surrounded, I believe, and I believe we're going to be more surrounded. And I believe the city of God is encompassed, but I believe also that the Word of God, the fire of God, the sword of the Spirit will come down if we allow it. and devour those things. But we're not going to do it by alienating ourselves from the Word or from God Himself. I would think about a scripture that's over in Proverbs 6 and 27. I've also thought this afternoon about a couple of men in the Bible. I know there's more. There's a couple of men in the Bible that dabbled around. And they wouldn't heed the Word of God. They thought they was maybe above it. I don't know. But both these fellows wound up in serious trouble. Remember Samson? His parents and all advised him to find a young lady of the nation of Israel. He dabbled around. He was deceived, and he turned right around and said, oh, it won't happen again. And he got deceived again. Finally, he came to a place where he lost his strength, and the next thing you know, they poked his eyes out. And he said, there's no vision, the people perish. Dabbling around with sectism, dabbling around with sin, dabbling around with worldly entertainment, dabbling around with the things that promote fleshly attire and fleshly lust, dabbling around with mixing and mingling of the sexes, unchaperoned and not careful. All of those things can blind our vision. They can cause you and me to lose sight of the truth. They can cause you and me to lose a respect for it and fall a prey or fall a snare. You see, the Lord had John write that about the false prophets for a reason. It was because those false prophets meant to kill the saints of God. And not necessarily literally, but spiritually. Well, those false spirits have not changed. Those false prophets are still doing the bidding of the devil who sent them, and their purpose is to slay the man-child. The devil, just because he was shown up to be who he is, he didn't quit trying to kill the man-child. He still would just as soon to kill a convert. In fact, he'd love to. So the Lord said, don't be deceived. Don't dabble around in things. Don't court things. Don't think you're immune. And don't think it won't happen to you. Over in Proverbs 6 and 27, I'm going to use this scripture. He was speaking about harlots and those kind of things. But this is a true statement. 6 and 27 of Proverbs. Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? I'd ask you to say, is that possible? You'd say, no, we know that's not so. We know if a man takes coals of fire. You know, there was a time when I've only heard about it. We never did it. But in days before gas, natural gas and electricity was in homes, maybe before matches were so available, people would sometimes go borrow a coals from their neighbor. They'd take a bucket over there. I'd say, well, my fire's gone out and I need some coals. So the fellow would go to his fireplace or his cook stove and stick his shovel in there and get some coals from his fire and put in. You'd go take your little bucket of coal home and you'd get your coals home and you'd get your fire started. And think about it this way. Instead of taking a bucket with you, you went over to the house and you said, neighbor, my fire's gone out and we don't have any matches. Can I borrow some coals from you? Sure, you can get some. Where's your bucket? Oh, I don't need a bucket. What do you mean you don't need a bucket? What you going to carry me? Oh, just put them in my hands here and I'll stick them in my coat. Now, first of all, if you was a good neighbor, you wouldn't let him do it. You'd say, no, go get a bucket, man. I want to tell you something. Satan's not a good neighbor. Not a good friend. If you want to take coals in your bosom and say it's not going to hurt you, Satan will laugh as he puts them in there. Can a man take false doctrine? Can a man put himself on the same level as sin and think he's not going to get burned? Can we dabble around in the things that the devil has placed out in this world? Thing called evolution. I know it's been around a long time. Been talked about a long time. But you know, remember one time years ago in Shreveport, there were some people who'd kind of come around a little bit, and they were United Pentecostal, which is very much the tongues movement, very radical concerning it. And they were making a little sachet around the saints. One good sister, and when I say good, I mean it exactly that way. One good sister said, well, in able to be able to refute that, we need to have a couple of Bible lessons on what they teach about the tongues. Well, now, on first glimpse, that doesn't sound so bad. Brother Clifford thought about that a while, and he said something to this effect. No, we don't need to teach what they teach about tongues. We need to teach what the Bible teaches about it. And that's our protection, folks. To say I'm going to refute millennialism or sin you must by studying their doctrines and being able to match them line up, no, I don't think that's, you dabble in sin. And that has a way of creeping over, polluting. Did you know suggestions are more powerful than we think? Did you know that someone can make a suggestion about a minister that's not very gracious? And you can refute that or you can not accept that. Did you know the next time that minister gets up to preach, you're going to remember that? Suggestions are not just idle things. They are seeds planted by someone who is against your soul. I'm not saying even the person that said it is wrong, is malicious. But that little seed was not planted in your mind with an idea that he's going to cast it off. They know well, the spirits do, that that's going to be remembered because you can't help but remember it. Then that preacher gets up, or whatever. And that's the first thing that comes to your mind. When you've already told yourself, I dismiss that and don't accept it. Little subtle thoughts the devil comes around with. Little innuendos. We face a period in our time, and maybe it's always been this way, but we're here. And we weren't back there. There's a place going around now that people are wanting, spirits are wanting to label the saints. Put a little tag on the saints. They're unfriendly. They don't care. They're rigid and they're not hospitable. I've reached a point in my ministry that I'm not going to accept that. I'm going to say, tell me what you're talking about. Prove what you're saying. Because you see, I know some saints that are not that way. And if I'm that way, I'm going to repent. Because I don't want to stay that way. But those little subtle words, and sometimes they're not so subtle, place a seed of doubt. And Satan knows that. Be careful. Don't go around dabbling here, dabbling there with those kind of things. We cannot expect to take fire in our bosom and say, it won't burn me. I can't start going to pool halls and bar rooms and those kind of places and handing out tracts on a regular basis and saying, I won't be affected by that. We need to be careful. Years ago, Shreveport, I was saved. I had a real good friend. He had a sporting goods store. And this friend of mine, darts, you know what darts are, probably played them before, kind of started getting popular, so he started selling darts. And he had dartboards, and he had all the paraphernalia that goes with it. Well, I'd go by sometimes, often, because he was a good friend of mine, known each other for a long time. And he'd say, come on, let's play a game of darts. So we'd just, right there in his business, we'd throw darts at the dartboard. Well, I'm not good at many things. But lo and behold, I was halfway good at throwing darts. Well, nothing wrong with playing darts, is it? One day, he was telling me about a league they had formed. And they was all excited about it, kind of like a bowling league. Won't you join? No, I don't want to do that. One day, I was in there, and this another man walked in, and he kind of sided with my friend. He said, hey, you're pretty good at this. We could use you on our team. Well, I thought about it. Came to me real quick, though. No, wait a minute here. Maybe I didn't have any convictions against playing darts, and I still don't. Shooting, you know, throwing darts at a dartboard. But the problem was, one of the problems was, where they played the darts. Down at the local pubs and the bars. And I thought, well, that wouldn't go at all. So I went out to my truck, my car that day, I was leaving there. The Lord spoke to me. He said, you better quit that. Basically, you're saying you're dabbling around with something, you're going to get burned. There was an old sectarian preacher. He may even still be alive. That man, his voice, the way he said colloquial things, and he was just entertaining to listen to one time. Oh, I can't think of his name. It doesn't matter. I traveled a lot. Sometimes I'd be driving 5-6 hours a day. So I'd scan the radio dial. And every now and then I'd catch this preacher. And Shambach. Maybe some of you heard of it. Shambach was his name. And I got to listening to him strictly because he had a voice that just caught my ear. And because he could say some of the, well, colloquialisms, I guess. But I really got to listening to him on like 3 days a week. Something like that. One day I came in from work and sitting there in my truck and he was on and I was going to listen to what he had to say and the Lord spoke to me again. He said, you better quit that. So I quit that. I wonder why God would say, that's just a funny fella, and he's not hurting anything. I wonder why God would have me to quit that. Many false prophets. And do you know what? They want to catch my ear, and they want to catch your ear. They want to say something to make me come back. They want to say something to get me to doubt. They want to say something to get me to question. And they got me at that point. Then they've got a hook in me, and they just get me a little closer to get another hook in me. And they've got something they want to put in me that's not of the Spirit of God. So be very careful. Evil communications, whether we want to think so or not, the Bible said they corrupt. They're not good for us. A little sleep, he said in the 10th verse of that chapter. A little sleep, a little slumber, a little folding of the hands to sleep. So shall thy poverty come as one that travaileth, and thy want as an armed man. Why do you think why do you think the devil puts up so many oppositions for me and you reading the Bible? That's kind of no-brainer, isn't it? Why do you think the devil wants to occupy my mind in the morning or yours in the evening or whenever? When you think, well, I need to read some of the Word. And about that same time, many different things come into your mind. He doesn't want you in the Word of God. He doesn't want you reading the Word of God. He doesn't want you studying. He doesn't want you to humble yourself before God with the Word of God. Because many false spirits are out there. And they want to come around and confuse me, confuse you. And if we give way to that, there are people with great charisma. Be careful. I like the way Paul said it. They say my speech is contemptible. You know, Brother Clifford used to say, Brother Stanley, we don't have any grace to give anybody. We don't have any heaven to take them to. I like that idea. And I don't want people looking up to me as the authority on something. I'd rather be like Paul and my speech be contemptible and tell the truth than have the charisma and polish of sectarianism and tell half-truths. I'd rather be simple in truth than wise in error. Lord, help us. He said, your poverty will come. Dabbling here and dabbling there. Running off to this and running off to that over there. Double-minded man. Unstable in all his ways. You know, James wrote that, and he didn't say unstable in some things. He said in all things. You think about it. That's kind of scary. If I'm double-minded, I'm unstable in my finances, in my home life, my job. I'm double-minded toward my wife. I'm double-minded toward my children. I'm double-minded towards God. In all things, he said, it's unstable. And I'm unstable. I said I'm double-minded. I mean unstable. Think about that. Satan wants you to get double-minded. Is it or isn't it? Think about those things. A little sleep and a little slumber, and your poverty will come in. Jesus said, watch and pray to enter not into temptation. Over in Romans, the 8th chapter, maybe begin at the 31st verse. What shall we then say to these things? God be for us, who can be against us? Thank God for that. That tells me some things, that I can have hope, that I can be victorious, that God is on my side. But it also tells me I need to stay real close to God. I can't afford to go dabbling around. I can't go hither and thither and yon and think that it's all okay, God's going to protect me. Folks, if we start getting out of the order of the Lord and start dabbling in the untouchable things and the unclean things, in the despicable things and the dangerous things, God can't protect us. Now, you may think I'm wrong. God can't protect us. Have you ever noticed STDs? The diseases that's rampant in the world today. Have you ever noticed you don't ever hear of them in a monogamous relationship? God protects that union. It's holy and it's pure. Did you know God can't protect men and women when they break that covenant and promiscuity abounds? God is not obligated to that. He has not given his covenant to that. And when we venture outside of where God's boundaries are, we place ourselves liable. You might say, well, God could stop it if he wanted to. I'm not so sure he can. Because as I lean and give myself to something, I've got a will, folks, and so do you. And I have yet to see God just absolutely take my will and say, you're not going to do that, you're going to obey me. Hadn't seen him do that. If I want to dabble in things, it breaks God's heart, but he'll let me. And the consequences will rest upon me, whether it's in anything, doesn't matter. So it tells me if God is for me, if I stay where God wants me, if I really truly love God, if I give myself to him, if I don't want the unclean, if I am very careful with my life, nothing can come against me that'll tear me down. He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? May I say tonight, God, truly, Oh, Jesus cried. He said, how oft would I have gathered you? But you wouldn't do it. He wasn't saying that you wouldn't let me. God wants to be our healer, our protector, our salvation, our comforter. Who shall lay anything to the charge of God, the God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, and whom also maketh intercession for us. These last few scriptures encourage us. They're conditional, though. I really believe this. I don't say God in his absolute authority, he made this world. He can do anything he wants to in that sense. But God has not allowed himself to override our will. Who shall separate us from the love of Christ? You know, folks, if I love my wife, and I promise you I do, I don't have any desire to do anything else. I'm really not happy right now with where she is and where I am. I'm glad she got to see her family, but I got to confess, I didn't rejoice over the idea. If I truly love someone, if I truly love my companion, that relationship is sacred and it's safe. But if I begin all the time saying I love my wife, but if I begin to dabble around with the fire, we know what will happen. I can say I'm just only whatever. Folks, be careful. He said, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? I believe this with all my heart, that this word is true. But I believe it's conditional. It's love. Isn't that what we say in marriage? Forsaking all others? What kind of relationship would it be if you worked with a person of the opposite sex and every day you went and had dinner with them, or lunch with them? Oh, we got an extra 45 minutes. Let's go down to the mall and go shopping together. You know, it wouldn't take a smart man very long to say they're headed to trouble. And yet, if we're not careful, we'll dabble around with things and our love of God. We can't afford it. Those things are too powerful out there. Have too much authority. Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or peril or sword? No. As it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are counted as sheep for the slaughter. But he gives us a promise here. Nay, in all of these things, we are more than conquerors. Very big word here, through him that loved us. It's only through Christ. It's only in having that sanctified Holy Spirit relationship with Christ. I'm not downplaying justification. I'm not doing that at all. But we need the Holy Ghost. We need the Holy Spirit. And I can now do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. I can resist the temptations. I don't have to go there. I don't have to do that. My eyes can be open. I can hear his voice. I can see him. And then we're more than a conqueror. People get in spiritual trouble not by listening to God, but by listening to self and reasoning spirits. Have you ever heard that word? I don't think I have. Reasoning spirits. Spirits that have the power of reason. God never tempted anyone with sin. God never led anyone to commit adultery. God never led anyone to break their covenant with their spouse or with him. We are more than conquerors through him. And that's all. For I am persuaded that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God. I believe this with all my heart. If I will stay where God wants me to be. The children of Israel got in trouble because they started thinking about the garlics and the leeks and the cucumbers. And they got to thinking things that they should not. Instead of rejoicing, they got to murmuring. The first thing you know, they had a golden calf built out there. And God gave them over to the most corrupt and vilest of vices, that they dishonored themselves. I think he was trying to humiliate them so terribly, or allow them to be humiliated, shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't want you to think tonight that I disagree with these statements. I totally agree with them, 100%. My caution is, try the spirits. See what they're really saying. See what they really are doing. See how they're affecting other people's lives. See what kind of conditions they abide in. Compare them to the Word of God. Compare them to the doctrines of the Bible, to the church. Compare them to what we know the Bible teaches of holiness and modesty and righteousness, of shamefacedness, of humility. Find out what they compare to Holy Spirit leadership, on and on, of baptism, the ordinances. Do they believe a millennial reign? Do they believe that Christ is going to come back? Do they see the kingdom? Or are they caught up that someday the kingdom will be established? Something to think about. He said, try it. Try it. Ask questions. May the Lord help us tonight. Little message the Lord just seemed to place in my heart. Dabbling. Dabbling. You know, there can be a good meal set before us. The other night, my wife, well, actually, we cooked together. She cooked and I cooked. And had a very good meal. At least I thought it was. A meal that I would have normally consumed it every bit. But I got to dabbling in the cookie jar. And I'm not a cookie eater, but I was hungry. So I got to dabbling in the cookie jar. I ate a cookie. Pretty good cookie. I ate another cookie. Pretty good cookie. I ate another cookie. The story's not finished yet. They was good cookies. And I was hungry. Cost a dollar at Sam's if you want to buy any. And, you know, that's how it is sometimes with dabbling. The devil can make it inexpensive, too, it seems like. Well, I had my third cookie, and you know them cookies tasted pretty good. They're about that big around. Chocolate chip. I dabbled in another one. So I said, well, I better quit this. Part of the reason I quit, kind of got my appetite sated a little bit. So we fixed dinner, had it sitting on the table, and it did. It was good, and it looked good. I started eating. After a while, I said, you know, I shouldn't have eaten them cookies a while ago. And I don't hardly ever do this, folks. I actually took my plate and said, that's it. Because I normally, if it's there, I eat it. But I dabbled. I dabbled. And I started taking in things I should have left alone. You know, we get to dabbling in things, folks. It'll spoil our appetite for the truth. I'm going to tell you something. Sectism can entertain better than I can. Better than you can. And better than we can. They can play their musical instruments. They can put on their programs. And if we don't have a spirit of God, it'll entertain us. And we'll think we're spiritually blessed. And then we'll come to the saints and say, think about it. Dabbling. God help us. I love you. I love God. I love myself. and I want to serve God. And if I compare myself and we compare ourselves among ourselves and reach out and compare ourselves, Paul wrote to us, that's very unwise. Been a lot of people, folks, made shipwreck for dabbling. Dabbling a little here, and dabbling a little there. Winds and ships that are tossed about, they dabble. And that dabbling got them in trouble. And they lost their appetite for truth. They lost their vision for truth. There are people that I know today and know of today that are getting my age and older, and they're grappling with how to make heaven. And if you trace their lives, some of them back, you find that for a few decades, they dabbled with this and they dabbled with that. Now they're coming down to where the sunrise, sunset is out there in front of them, and they see it. And they're not happy with what they have on hand. God wants us to be able to say, even so, come, Lord Jesus. And then there are those who have dabbled to the degree with sin in their life. They can go out with seemingly peace in their soul and think everything's all right. God help us, dabbling. A little here, a little there. Going back for seconds over here. Caving into the flesh here, going back. Lifting up ourselves and think, I know this. Listening to false prophets. Little doubt, little complaining, little murmuring, little labeling, little accusations here. Folks, we've got to renounce those things. They're the hidden things he talks about of dishonesty. The devil won't come to us and say, by the way, I got this big juicy lie, and I want you to get a hold to it so I can get you to hell. He'll hide them. And he'll make them like those cookies, kind of. Pretty good cookie. And first thing you know, we're in the cookie jar again and again. First thing you know, the cookie jar is empty, and we're destitute because we've got no nutrition in us. So God help us tonight. Be careful what you do, what you think, what you say, where you go, what you allow, what you don't allow. Be careful with your words. Be careful what you read. I know this sounds kind of censorship. It's not. But I think God would censor us if we'd allow him. Be careful what you watch, what you read, what you think, about God's people, what you know, attitudes you develop. They've all got spirits to them if they're not of God. And folks, they'll corrupt good manners. They'll do it. You know, if man thinks enough bad things long enough, he'll become bad. If the Lord, if a person starts thinking bad enough about you or me long enough, then we are bad, whether we are or not. Reality is, in their mind, we're bad. So God help us tonight. I love you. I love God's people. I think about what God's done for me and what he's done for you. And I am just pleased to love the Lord. I have no other ambition, really. I except go to heaven someday. So you pray for me.